Man is of no use without the Nam. Oh man, there's no guarantee of even one moment in your life. This is the bhajan Namato Bhagera Banda on page 76. Oh man, your life is useless without the Nam. You did not get the master and do the human work. Oh vessel of mud, don't become proud. You have received a limited count of breaths. Do not lose them for nothing. Without Nam, this body is an empty bag of leather. Many times you were hung upside down in the womb. Even after forgetting the Nam, still you do not hesitate. The negative power skins those who do not have a master. After letting them suffer in the 84 lakhs of births and deaths, he puts them into the hells. Even knowing this, the mind does not want to do the meditation of Nam. You are a bubble of water, and you can't rely on any breath. Oh man, you have got this jewel of human birth at no cost. Without master, you will suffer. Without Nam, you will get kicked and knocked in the court of the Lord. Oh man, still there is time. Why don't you believe this? Satsang and master are true, and Nam is the beloved one. In the court of the Lord, we have only the support of this Nam. The disciple who follows the words of the master gets to control the door of Sachkhand. Without Kirpal, Ajaib is of no use. Man is of no use without the Nam. O man, there's no guarantee of even one moment in your life.
Namato bhagera banda nehi kise kamada jindagi e terina barosa ikadamada Namato bhagera banda nehi kise kamada jindagi e terina barosa ikadamada Namato bhagera banda Namato bhagera bekara jindagani oe Darya na guru ki kama in the sani oe Namato bhagera bekara jindagani oe Darya na guru ki kama in the sani oe Miti Deya Bandiya Owe Manavichya Avina Ginati De Sasalabe Evehi Guavina Miti Deya Bandiya Owe Manavichya Avina Ginati De Sasalabe Evehi Guavina Nama bina sakanae tela ika chamada Chindagi e terina barosa ika damada Namato bagera banda nehi kise kamada Chindagi e terina barosa ika damada Namato bhagera banda Gevaraputa tenu garba chitangiya Namanu bulake oe tu aje bina sangiya Gevaraputa tenu garba chitangiya Namanu bulake oe tu aje bina sangeya Beguria di kala putikala londae Bogalo charasi vicha naraka de pondae Beguria di kala putikala londae Bogalo churasi vicha naraka de pondae Nama japane nudila ajebini manada Jindagi e terina barosa ikadamada Namato bhagera banda nehi kise kamada jindagi eterina barosa ikadamada Namato bhagera banda bula bula pani na nehi damada vasaoe hirahata ayajave Kodiya de baoe, bula bula pani da nihi damada vasaoe, hirahata ayajave, kodiya de baoe, guru to bagera begura duka pavenga. Namasache binadake darga chakavenga Guru to bagera begura duka pavenga Namasache binadake darga chakavenga Aje bihe vela bande kio nehi manada Jindagi e teri na barosa ikadamada Namato bagera banda nehi kise kamada Jindagi e teri na barosa ikadamada Namato bagera banda Sata Sangha Guru Sacha Nama Piyara He Darga Devicha Anta Ese Dasahara He Sata Sangha Guru Sacha Nama Piyara He Darga Devicha Anta Ese Dasahara He Guru Debachana Utejo Sika Chalada Sachikanda Valadara Vaja Oho Malada Guru Debachana Utejo Sika Chalada Sachikanda Valadara Vaja Oho Malada Bina kirpalana jeba kise kamada Jindagi e teri na barosa ikadamada Namato bagera banda nehi kise kamada Jindagi e teri na barosa ikadamada Namato bhagera banda.
Satsang and Master are true, and Nam is the Beloved One. In the court of the Lord, we have only the support of this Nam. The disciple who follows the words of the Master gets to control the door of Sachkhand. Without Kirpal, Ajaib is of no use. Man is of no use without the Nam. O man, there's no guarantee of even one moment in your life. Before we begin, I want to say a special thank you to everyone who brought their love yesterday to the memorial service we had for Yvonne Starr. I know that the family, which came from afar, was very appreciative, and there was a lot of love brought to support Tony, our dear brother. And I also have an announcement. Russell's new book, entitled Stumbling Toward God, A Spiritual Memoir, The Years with Kirpal, has arrived. It costs $15 and can be picked up at the book table. If you want us to mail a copy, the cost is $15 plus shipping. And you can either order it by email, sbapublications@gmail.com, or starting next Sunday, it'll be available on the Santbani website, santbaniashram.org, using PayPal. And if you didn't have your pencil and paper right handy just then, the email and website info is going to be at the book table too. And this is a short excerpt from Russell's preface to the book. He writes, "This book is my attempt to describe what it is like to know someone whose whole reason for being was to unite the way of earth with that of heaven. What it is like to be around him, to be loved by him, and to love him back. What it is like to recognize with your whole heart that this is what it means to be human, that any other endeavor is missing the point of our existence. The book is not in any sense a biography. It is, as the subtitle says, a memoir, the record of my personal encounter with a life-transforming colossus who combined power and compassion to an astonishing degree, and to whom I related, to quote his own words, as to a will infinitely above me and yet infinitesimally careful of me." We'll begin today with more reading from the book In Search of the Gracious One. And Sanchi says, "In the schools, the teachers are from different religions. There are Christians, there are Sikhs, there are Hindus. They may be from different countries, but when we are going to the school to learn something, we never have any objection about the religion they belong to. This is because we go to the school only to get the knowledge from them. We don't go there to make any relationship with the teachers. When I was at the signal operator school in Pune, we had some teachers who were Christian. My teacher was Lali Khan, a Muslim, and there were some Hindu teachers also. Nobody minded that, and even now I have great respect and appreciation for those teachers in my heart. In the same way, in the path of spirituality, all the saints have said that one doesn't have to look at the caste or creed or religion of the saint. One should not even pay any attention to which country he belongs, for we are going to him only to get the knowledge of spirituality. Just as we get the worldly knowledge from the teachers, regardless of their religion, in the same way we get the knowledge of spirituality from the saints, regardless of their religion. Kabir Saab has said, don't ask about the caste of the master. Ask for the knowledge he has. Value the sword. Don't pay attention to the case. The body is the case, and the power of spirituality, the nam manifested within the body of that Mahatma, is the sword, and we have to obtain that from him. If, as students, we wholeheartedly study what we are being taught, and if we make our life pure, that will help us very much in our future. We can get the qualities of our teachers if we respect and obey them, because if a student is obeying and respecting his teacher, the teacher gives that student much of his attention. He helps him, and he loves him very much. Whatever the teachers are teaching us, that's for our own good. We are studying for making our own success. We are not doing any favor to our teachers. So if our teachers start telling us to do anything, we should do one extra thing for them. If they are telling us to solve one question, we should solve one more question, because whatever we are doing, that's for our own good. We should always respect our teachers and obey whatever they tell us to do. When I was in the army, I had many teachers who were teaching me the job of wireless operator. The job of a wireless operator is complicated because it involves many things, and I would never have been able to do that job if not for my teachers. I always respected my teachers. That is why they gave me a lot of extra attention, and in that way they made me an excellent signaler. Even in their private time, they would teach me about that job. If we have respect for the one who gives us any good qualities or good teachings, then we are honored in this world. In my childhood in India, there were not very good arrangements for school and education, but regardless, three of us in our village were sent to school. One was the son of a weaver, and two of us were farmers' sons. When we went to school, our teacher gave us some lessons to learn, and then he went away for some other work. Two of us started learning that lesson, and we both learned that lesson by heart. However, the third boy, the son of the weaver, did not want to study. So instead of learning that lesson, he went and sat on the wall of the school and enjoyed the cool breeze that was blowing there. When the teacher came back, he asked the two of us who had been studying whether we had learned our lesson or not. We both had learned that, so he was very much pleased with us. He saw that the weaver's son was sitting on the wall, so he asked him, "Have you learned your lesson? Why are you sitting on the wall? Why aren't you studying?" And the boy replied, "Well, why do you bother? I was enjoying the cool breeze while sitting here. If I want to learn the lesson, I will learn it by my own self. Why are you worried about me?" The teacher got upset and said, "Well, come here and catch hold of your ears," which in India is a sign of repentance. However, when the teacher told him that, instead of catching his own ears, he came to the teacher and caught the ears of the teacher. So that poor teacher became even more upset, and he slapped him. Because in those days in India, the children were given a very good beating if they did not obey the teacher. That boy became upset, and at last, the teacher told him to leave the school. And in that way, he was thrown out of the school. He left the school right then, and after that, he never came back to the school. After I went into the army, when I used to come back home from the army, that boy, who was grown up by then, would come to me and ask for clothes because he was living a very poor life. He would ask for clothes, and he would claim to be our classmate, even though he had only been to school with us for one day. Still, he would say that he was our classmate. If he had also studied like we did, he would also have made his life good. He would have made his life good, and he would have lived comfortably, but he did not go to school, and that is why he didn't make his life. He worked all his life as a laborer, and he suffered a lot. Later on in his life, he realized that by not obeying the teacher, he had not gained anything, and he repented that he hadn't obeyed his teacher. Finally, he died like that, still in a difficult position, without living a decent life. So, whatever work one is given, whether we are studying in school or studying spirituality from the master, it is much better to do the work which the teacher or master has asked us to do while the teacher is still in front of us. If the student finishes the job that he has been given by the teacher, right in front of the teacher, will it not be better? It is possible that he may have some difficulty in doing that work, and if he is doing it in front of the teacher can also help him. In the same way, when the angel of death comes to the soul, will he give her more time? Will he say, "Okay, you go and complete the things that you want to do, and then I will come and take you"? He will not give us any more time. And that is why whatever work we are supposed to do, we should do it right away. So, with love, we should study wholeheartedly. We should respect our teachers, because whatever they are teaching us is for our own good. If we obey them, we will make our future bright. One time we were at a camp in the city of Sungrur, and we were getting training in how to use guns. When we were using the rifles, we found that one of them was not working. So we put that gun aside, and we used another. At the end of the day, all the guns and all the bullets were counted. In the army, people were very strict about counting all the arms and ammunition, but nobody paid any attention to the round that had not been fired. After we were done with the shooting practice, we would stand in a line, while the major would go to the higher officer and say that everything was fine. Only after that would we be released. We were three signalers, and we all were standing in a row, and another person was told to get that gun which had not fired and stand behind me. As soon as he came there with the gun, as he laid that gun on the ground, suddenly it fired without anyone pulling the trigger or doing anything to shoot it. When that bullet was shot from that gun, first of all, it went between my legs because we were standing in the standard at-ease position. That bullet burned my underwear, and then it went through the space between the arm and the body of the person standing in front of me, and finally, the bullet struck the head of the person third in line in front of me, and he died on the spot. In the army, people are very strict about counting the guns and ammunition. However, because negative power had determined the time and cause of death for every individual, when that time approached, all of the wisdom and planning just didn't work, because that death was supposed to happen. There is no way one can put off or avoid one's death, because it is all predetermined, and it has to happen. When they counted all the bullets, they should have found that one bullet was unfired in that defective gun, and they should have taken that bullet out of that gun, but they didn't do that. When that man came and stood behind me, and that bullet was shot from the gun, I should have died first, since I was standing right in front of that gun, but I didn't die. After I had escaped, the second person in line who was standing right in front of me should have died. He also did not die because it was not written in his fate to die in that way. However, the person who never expected the bullet died on the spot. In whatever way you have to die, that is written in your fate. No matter if one tries to run from that situation and avoid those circumstances, still, one has to die in that way, because it is all predetermined. In the border area, in the city called Nowshera, there was a cantonment, and once they had a sports meet there. Sportsmen from all the different battalions of the army were invited to take part. Our battalion was invited, and a battalion of Pathans also came from across the border. The Pathans were very tall and sturdy and healthy-looking. They were also very well known for their athletic abilities. In my regiment, I was the person who always defeated everyone in running. I was fond of running, and when I was running, I used to feel as if I had springs in my body, as if I were jumping. At that time, I used to do the Simran of Hey Ram, Hey Gobind. And whenever I was running, I was doing my Simran also. I would not even know whether I was running or just riding on my Simran. So whenever I would run, I never allowed any of my competitors to finish ahead of me. I always used to be the first one to finish the race. So many people knew about me. One Pathan, who was a well-known champion in his battalion, came there also. Somebody told him that there was one boy named Ajaib Singh who was very good at running, who would be running that day also, and that maybe I would defeat him. Well, that Pathan was proud of his running, so he came to me and asked if I was Ajaib Singh. I replied that I was. And looking at my skinny body, he was surprised. He asked how much meat I ate, and I replied that I had never eaten meat. So he laughed at me and said, "After the race starts, I'll carry you in my arms, and I will run like that. I won't even give you a chance to run with me." I told him, "Okay, time will tell who will carry whom. I am not that proud of myself, but I can say that if God is willing, I will just leave you right where you are standing, and I will just run away." They made a joke of us vegetarians. They used to say, "The vegetarians eat the cereals with the cereals. They do not eat any flesh, and that is why they will never get a sturdy body." The Pathans boasted, "A vegetarian can never defeat us because our flesh is made of flesh." But I was very sure of myself also. We had to run for 1 mile. There were four rounds of 440 yards each. I used to run normally for the first three rounds, but in the last round, I would run very fast. Even if a mare was chasing me, she couldn't catch me because I used to run so fast in the last stretch. So for the first three rounds, when that man was ahead of me, the people in his battalion were encouraging him to keep ahead of me. When they saw that I was in the back, they started teasing me, saying, "You were saying that you will defeat him, but now you are way back." The other Pathan soldiers were praising their man who was running with me, and he said, "Okay, don't worry. I'm ahead of him, and I will definitely win this race." When I came near the people of my battalion, they asked, "Why are you so far back? Just go ahead and win this." And they were encouraging me. However, my colonel knew how I used to run the races, so he said, "Whatever you are doing, that is fine." So, hearing the encouragement of the people in my battalion, I got so much enthusiasm in me that I started running very fast when the last round came. I passed that Pathan, and when he saw me running, he thought that it was as if some bullet had been shot out of a gun. He became so disappointed that he forgot that he was running, and he just stood there, and his friends also stopped cheering him when I passed him and came in first. What I had said earlier, that I would leave him standing right there, that came true. In the beginning, he was running ahead of everybody, but when the race ended, he was the last one to finish. Those people used to laugh at me because I was a vegetarian, but when the time came for competition, then they came to know how much energy I got from the vegetarian food. They were very tall and sturdy looking, and when that man was standing next to me, I looked one-fourth his size. But nobody noticed that when I passed and defeated him. In the army, the meat eaters are always praising the eating of meat. They would tell me that much strength was obtained from doing that. So whenever they said that, I would tell them, "If you are proud of your strength, then come and run with me." Nobody could beat me. I was very good at running and won many prizes in the running competitions. This is just an excuse of the mind that by eating meat we get strength. Now that God has blessed us with so many vegetarian foods, there's no need for anyone to eat meat. In the same way, those who drink encourage others to drink wine. In 1942, I went to England to participate in some games, and we had to go by ship. Some people said that when you go by ship and you go up on the upper deck, to do the physical training exercises and see only water all around you, you would feel like you are losing your heart, and at that time, you need to drink wine. However, when we went on that journey, I did not have to drink wine. I did not lose heart, and I was very strong. I was much stronger than the people who used to drink wine. In fact, those who are vegetarians and who don't drink wine are stronger than those who are not vegetarian and who do drink wine. Even the animals that are vegetarians have more stamina to fight and can fight longer than the animals that eat meat. You know the tiger eats meat, but he does not have much energy to go on fighting for a long time. But the elephant that is a vegetarian can fight for a very long time. Throughout my youth and throughout my life, up until 60 years of age, I always enjoyed good health. I never used any vitamins, and I never went to any doctor. I did those things that are necessary for maintaining good health. I always felt like there was some kind of spring in my body, and I was always inspired to go running. All right, we will pick up there next time. And we began last week reading a satsang that Sanchi gave here at Sanbani on August 3rd, 1977, called "The Fire is Burning." And this is on a hymn of Bhule Shah. So continuing with the talk, we'll begin with lines from the hymn. I have made a bedding of my eyes and have made my heart a courtyard. O my Shah Inayat, come to me soon. Shah Inayat is Inayat Khan, Bhule Shah's master. And Sanchi says, I have only one request to Hazur Kripal, that just as you were coming before, now also you come into my ashram. I have laid down my life as your bedding. For the road, I have laid down my life so that you may walk on that, and I have made a courtyard of my heart for you to come and dwell there. You are my God, my master, my everything. From the hymn, who is like him? Who can tell me about him? What fault do I have? I am your servant. Now, how can we find anyone like Sant Kripal, who could give us so much love and could assure us? We received only love from our Sant Kripal. When I came to know that Master Kripal had left the body, one police inspector was sitting with me. All thoughts were gone, and only this thing came out of my mouth. What fault did I have that you have left me? I was your servant, and I did not ask any worldly thing of you. So why did you leave me? And again from the hymn, without you, who is mine? Do not break my heart. Only this sigh was coming out of me. Who is there except you for me in this world? Don't stab my heart. And again, come into this world for me. Only for this poor one, Hazur called the president of Rajasthan, and only for this poor one, he ate a lunch with him and said, this is my task, to take your care. There was no satsangi in Rajasthan who went to visit Master without Master first of all asking them, have you seen him before coming here? Master was concerned about me from within, but outwardly he was also concerned about me very much. And that is why when Master left the body, all the world became empty for me. And only this thought came, now who is there who will ask about my happiness or pain in this world? In India, it is the custom that when any girl is going to get married, she will accept food and fine clothes. I told Hazur, "My condition is like the bride, and I am also wearing the ornaments, the jewels of Shabbatnam. I have not even satisfied my desire for this, and you have left me in between." And again from the hymn, "My husband has left me weeping." From within, so many times this sigh was coming out, "My husband has left me, and all my ornaments are dead." If any woman's husband leaves the body, how the wife weeps, carrying the vessels and the jewels. My condition was like that wife whose husband has died. And from the hymn, "I've wept a lot for you, but it seems your heart is made of stone." At that time, there were many people who were reasoning with me, and they were saying, "Once you were telling us that it's not a wise thing to weep after anyone leaves you, and now what's happening to you? Why are you weeping so much?" So I told them, "I know that my master has not left me, but physically he has put a veil between him and me, and now I cannot talk to him with my physical tongue. His heart has become stone. That is why I cannot see him physically." And from the hymn, "Didn't you put the red powder on my forehead? Didn't you give me the red wedding garment?" Only this voice was coming from the heart. Didn't you marry me? Didn't you become my husband? Am I not your wife? And now you have left me, making me a widow. And again from the hymn, "I weep like Sissy wept, saying, Beloved, beloved." The voice was coming from the heart. Just as Sissy was repeating the name of Punu while waiting for him, in the same way, I also am weeping and repeating the name, Kirpal, Kirpal. Sissy was a princess. The astrologer of her father, the king, told him, "This girl is going to be a great lover, and she will defame you. She is going to be in love with someone that you will not like." The king didn't want his name to be defamed. So, on the advice of that astrologer, he put Sissy in a box, along with the money that would have been her dowry, and a locket with his picture, and he put it in the river. The astrologers had thought that they would go and remove that money, because astrologers have this in mind of how to deceive the people. But unfortunately for them, they weren't able to get that box. And it was found by one washerman. He found the small girl, and using that money, he raised her. And she was very beautiful. Years later, the king, Sissy's father, came to that same place. When he saw that girl, he fell in love with her, and he told the washerman to give the girl to him because he wanted to marry her. The washerman said, "All right, we will ask her, and then we will tell you." When the washerman told Sissy, "That king wants to marry you," Sissy answered, "Father, whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. Wherever you send me, I will go." In India, whatever the parents say, the children do. Wherever the father wants the girl to go to get married, she will not have any objections. When Sissy was brought back to the palace by the king, he wanted to enjoy with her. But he recognized her necklace and the locket which had his picture. He realized that this Sissy was his daughter, and he realized his mistake. To repent for that, he gave a big garden to Susi, and from that time on, he treated her like his daughter because she was his daughter. Once, Susi saw the picture of Punu. Punu was a young man from a town named Kisham, and he was very beautiful. When Susi saw the portrait of Punu, she fell in love with him. She had never met him physically, but she was always dreaming of Punu, and for 12 years she waited for him to come, even though she did not know who or where he was. Even so, she did not sleep for 12 years because she was always waiting for Punu to come. On the other side, because heart talks to heart, Punu had started having dreams of Susi, and he also had fallen in love with Susi. In both of their hearts, the fire of love was burning. At last, one day, after waiting 12 years, Punu came to Susi. And when Punu came into the garden of Susi, someone went and told Susi that Punu was here. When the lovers met, Susi, who had not slept for 12 years, when she found the lap of her beloved, she fell into a deep sleep. She didn't remember what was going on, and she slept for a long time. Now, when the parents of Punu came to know that he was mad in the love of one girl, they thought, he won't do any work and he won't come back. They were afraid they would lose him. So they sent for some people to bring Punu back. When they arrived, both the lovers were sleeping in deep love. When Punu awoke, they gave him wine. And in the intoxication of that wine, Punu was brought back on a camel to his home. When Susi awoke the next morning and found that Punu was not there, she went mad and started weeping and pulling out her hair. Her father, her mother, everyone came to reason with her, but she said, "Don't try to make me understand, because I am separated from my beloved." She started searching for Punu, following the footsteps of the camel across the desert. The sand was burning, and in the burning sand, she followed those footsteps. She became very thirsty, but she kept repeating, "Punu, Punu," calling to him. She saw that there was an oasis nearby, and one shepherd was there. But she was afraid that if she left the footsteps to go and drink the water, the footsteps would be blown away, and she wouldn't be able to follow them. So she said to the footsteps, "You are afraid that if a storm comes, you will cease to exist. And I am afraid that if you no longer exist, I will not be able to continue my search. So give me your promise. If you go away, you will have committed a crime, and you will have to pay for that in the court of God. But if I go away from this path, which is leading me to my beloved, then I will pay for this in the court of God, because it will mean that my love was not true." So she went to the shepherd to ask him for water, but he wouldn't give her any water because of her condition. She didn't look like a woman, she looked like a witch. The shepherd, who was very afraid, refused her water and also ran away. When Susi got back, she found no footsteps there. Because of the wind blowing, all the footsteps were gone. She was stunned. Now where should she go? She had lost her path, and she started weeping and repeating the name Punu, Punu. She left her body in the pain of separation of her beloved. Meanwhile, when the intoxication of the wine had passed, and Punu realized that he had left his beloved there, he started back on the same camel to meet Susi. On the way, he also came to that oasis. And he saw a fresh grave, because when the shepherd came back, he saw Susi as a woman now and not a witch. And he dug the grave and placed her in it. So when Punu saw this grave, he asked the shepherd, "Who has died here? Whose grave is here?" And he answered, "I don't know who she was. It was some woman who was repeating the name, Punu, Punu. And she was weeping like mad, and she left the body." So when Punu knew that it was Susi, his beloved, and she had left the body for him, he got down from his camel. Because his love was real, and he also was in the pain of separation, the grave was torn apart, and the earth gave way so that he could join Susi, his beloved. So in the same way, I was always weeping for my Punu, for my Kripal, since I was 6 years old. For 35 years, my search for him was always going on. Just as Punu came by himself to quench the thirst of Susi, that god Kripal came to me by himself to quench my thirst. But when he left the body, when he left me alone in this world, at that time not even this earth gave way to let me go and dwell in it. So all the disciples of Kripal, everyone, should have such a love for the Master as Susi had for Punu. Without love for the Master, one cannot progress. Susi and Punu, Layla and Majanu, all these lovers, their love was not full of lust, it was chaste. Their love was not like the worldly people's love, and that is why the saints and Mahatmas very often speak of Layla and Majnu, and Susi and Punu. In Gurmat Siddhant, Master has frequently used stories of Layla and Majnu to demonstrate real love. We will leave off there. And in the same issue of the Santbani magazine where I found that satsang, it prints Sanchi's bhajan, Banda Banake Aya, which I believe is the first time that the bhajan was new then and printed in the magazine. And I wanted to read it because it's all about that. It starts by saying, "After becoming a man, God came." And the path is really as simple as that. After becoming a man, God comes to us, and he comes looking for us. So this is the bhajan. "After becoming a man, God came. After coming, he awakened the world. For many births, the souls were stuck here. For millions of miles, the souls wandered astray. He himself made this union. Millions of sinners have come to his door. With one glance, he liberated them. He took their raft across. Those who received his grace and mercy, they came and met him with no delay. They got his secret. In satsang, he made this proclamation, 'O man, why did you come into this world?' And he showed the path of love. He showed the path of Simran and Bhajan. He made us leave all the rites and rituals and do the repetition of Nam." Ajayb says, "Meditate on Nam. God himself will come and be gracious. He distributes the true happiness." And of course, in the bhajan, the word translated as gracious is Kripal. So God himself will come and be Kripal. All right, our tape, we are continuing with a talk that Master Kripal gave at the Friends Meeting House in Washington in 1955. And this was called The Path of the Masters.
Kabir says, look here, the time has come now, the day has arisen that you got the body of a man, now you can analyze yourself and know yourself, and as such know the over-self. So he addresses the soul, why are you asleep, why not wake up, the day has come. Even now if you are keep on sleeping, then when this opportunity, golden opportunity you have got now in the body of a man, when that will end, that opportunity will cease. Now he says, well, all right, those who have awakened, who woke up, what did they find? He said, they found a very valuable thing within themselves. They knew themselves, who they are, and what untold treasure of divinity they have got in them. Those who woke up. Those who did not woke up, in that case, they passed their lives in their life of the senses and did come, and does come, you see, one day. And when this opportunity is gone out of their hands, he simply repents, just sheds two tears and passes out. So he's laying stress, why not wake up, O soul? You've got the body of a man now, it is thy turn to meet God. You have to wake up from the delusion you are in now. You are not the body, you see that you are the body. You behave just like the body. All holy scriptures say, the world is subject to decay, and the body is also subject to decay. But what we do, how we behave, we do see with our own eyes that body like us, we have seen something going out of it, which we call soul. So long as that soul is living in this body, this is a living, and everybody pays respect to us. When that soul leaves the body, well, dust thou art, and to dust returneth. Or some people carry you to the graveyard or to the cremation place, and your this life sojourn is over. So masters always address the people as in soul body, to the souls they give their address. He says, if you wake up now, you will find very untold treasure of divinity now existing in you. If you do not wake up, this hidden treasure of divinity which lies in you already, that will pass out. You will not be benefited by that, because you have been leading the life of the senses only. You have to transcend them. This is what Kabir says. He says, you have just lost this golden opportunity of a man in your life of senses which you are leading almost from morn till evening. You are doing what? You are just doing work in connection with your body, are developing your intellect, and not devoting any time whatsoever to know yourself, who you are, what you are. That's the most important thing, and unfortunately, the most ignored. Now he says that the Lord, who is the Lord of all universe, and this is our Lord too, Lord of our souls as well. Yes, he is all wise, all wisdom, and you have been simply befooled in the outward sensuous life. You have not diverted from there your attention to see something higher which already exists in you. What is divinity? Divinity is the expression of divinity already existing in man. This is no imposition from outside. It is already there. You are divine in nature. But that divinity, that divine nature has been attached so much to the outer externalism that you have forgotten about the divine in you and your own self. You simply lead the life of the super outer self, you see. Now he says, you should have done, as a man, you should have prepared for the coming of the Lord to you. For that purpose you had to just know yourself first and then prepare the way for the Lord. But you have not done that. we have done so much, as I've already said, for developing your the physical side, your householdership, your social life and political life. You have also dealt wonderfully so far as your intellectual side is concerned, but you have done little and nothing to prepare to know yourself and know God. That was man, is it opportunity, you see, that you have got, in which you could have done that, but you have not done so. So he wakes up. Kabir says, well, wake up, dear soul, what are you doing? You have been, he said, like a madman. Madman does not know what he is doing. You see, he is not conscious of what he is doing. He is doing something always, but he is not conscious of it. People say he is mad, but when you ask, are you mad? He said, no, I am not mad. Similarly, those who are awakened, they do see we are going like madmen into the outer enjoyment of the outer senses. But when you ask them, are you a madman? Oh, no, I am the most wisest man on earth. So he says, you have lost your opportunity, you are so many days in life which you have now, coming some 20 years, 10 years, 30 years, 50 years, that past life is you have frittered away, lost in vain. Now wake up and make the best use of your life now. So for that purpose he says, just wake up and see where is your Lord. We have got self, we are souls, and God is the soul of our souls, you see. Our souls are directed outside. We have to invert. If we invert, we could have seen Him, you see. We could have seen Him. But inversion, we have not learned how to do it. Emerson said, tap inside. Tapping inside means inversion inside. We are leading a life of senses outer, externalism. So he says, well, look here, just wake up and see where is your Lord. He is with you, ever with you. All holy scriptures say so. All saints who came in the past, they also say so. But why not wake up and see where is your Lord? Is it with you? If you turn your inside only, you would be able to see. When your inner eye is open, you will be able to see Him even in all creation, with open eye. But so long as your inner eye is not open, you are nowhere. So that is why he said, wake up and see where is your Lord. That was the main thing, that was the main mission before us in our human birth, that we should have known ourselves and known God. So ultimately, Kabir says, that God is the very life of your life. Unless you invert inside, you cannot see Him. So the truth remains that we are not the bodies, we are the indweller of the bodies. When time does come, the time of great final change, which we call death, that does come to all, one and all. Even if we close our eyes to it, even then that would come. You see, like a pigeon, if a cat coming in front of him, he closes his eyes, does not catch hold of him. Even if we forget, we have leave the body someday. This is no bugbear, I tell you, but it is a fact which awaits every man. Are we prepared for it? That's the point. And what preparation is there to know the inner man with whose presence this body is being enlivened, and we move and do all these things, outer things. Pity it is we know so much about the body and not the indweller of the body. So all saints who came in the past, they did direct our attention towards that which are the most important subject, and unfortunately we know little or nothing about it. The most important it is, the mostly ignored we have ignored it. So this was one of the Kabir saying I just put before you, and similarly another for a few minutes, so that I would not take longer time, only to show you that these saints who came in the past This is a saying from the fifth guru of the sixth. He says, look here, when you rise up in the morning, what you do? You simply go on just doing things in connection with the body. You wake up, you bathe, you answer the calls of nature, you do exercise, you take food, go to the avocation you are following, some going to the business, others for service, and others for other things. The whole day you spend in that, you earn the money, in the evening you return, you just purchase something required for the household, and look after your children, take your food, and go to sleep. Again, rise up, the same thing again. You think that is only visiting the holy places, I mean the churches, temples, and others for a little time, hear some sermons, read some scriptures and go back. Reading of scriptures, attending the churches or the temples is the elementary step, no doubt. But that is not the end all, I say. We have to make the best of what you learn in the holy scriptures. We have to live up to it and see those experiences, have those experiences which they had in our own lives. Unless when we go to the church, what you say, there is a God. Oh God, have mercy on us, that's all right. Scriptures all say so, there is a God. But have we seen God? That's the point. Unless we see Him, we have got some experience of the great reality, we are not convinced. To see things is something else, to understand is something else, and to read scriptures only, that is something else. Are doing. And in this delusion, I would say, the end comes all at once and the man is cut off. The inner dweller of the house is gone. He has been pursuing all along in connection with the body and intellectual attainments. But he has not known himself, so when the time comes all at once to leave the body, he is in a nonplussed condition. He doesn't know what to do. He simply repents, just sheds tears, and passes out. That's all. So, Guru Arjuna says, well, look here, in this life of delusion as you are following, what you should do? He says, just attend, have the company of somebody who is awakened, who has known himself, who sees the reality with his own eyes. You should attach yourself, have the company of that particular saint before you. What will you gain thereby? You will learn how he has known himself. He will give you first an experience of the self and of the old self. How little it may be, there's no question of quantum, but you will have some experience of the beyond, of your own self and of the old self. If you know that you have that thing in your life now, so by first-hand experience what you get at the time when he initiates you into the beyond, you can develop that experience from day to day under proper guidance and help. So he says, well, while leading as a man, you should contact somebody who has got, who is awakened, so to say, as who has got first-hand knowledge of his own self, not in theory, but practically he has analyzed himself to see what he is, and he sees over self with his inner eyes. So that is the way how you can also save, make the best use of your human life. If you do contact such like personality, you will enjoy this life and afterlife both. Then he says, look here, oh man, you had come to make the best use of the life. You see, what does it profit a man if he gains the possessions of the whole world and loses one's own soul? Our pursuits in connection with the body and other intellectual ways, that will be only helping factor, but not the end-all be-all in life. The end-all and be-all of life is to know one's own self and the over-self. So he says, well, look here, you had come in the world to know yourself. You have been given the body of a man in which you have got the golden opportunity to know yourself and to know ourselves in the company of somebody who has known himself. The man who has known himself, he will only be able to give you, enable you to know yourself. For instance, if you come to a compounder, he will give you so many recipes given by so many eminent doctors, but he won't be able to make you a doctor. Only a doctor will make you a doctor. Similarly, those who have got only literary knowledge of these holy scriptures, they will be able to give you the literary knowledge, different how they got it, this and that thing. They have not seen the reality with their own eyes, and you won't be able to see that reality unless a man who has seen the reality, does give you some experience of it. So he enjoins, while as a man, you may remain in any social body you are there, you are welcome to remain over there, but know yourself. Naturally, you will come to know yourself when you come in contact with somebody who has known himself. This is the thing which has been impressed by all saints who came in the past. Maulana Rum, a great Mohammedan saint, he says, look here, if you want to make a pilgrimage of God, what should you do? You should just accompany a man who has already done the pilgrimage of God. He has seen the place. If you just go along with him, you need not even read the Holy Scriptures, because he has seen the place about which the Holy Scriptures speak of. He simply leads you there. He daily goes over there. He will also lead you there. Who should be a such pilgrim? He said, let him be a Hindu or a Mohammedan or an Arabic or anybody, A, B or C, that doesn't mind. You want to be a doctor, you see. It is not necessary the doctor should be a Hindu or a Mohammedan. He should be a doctor. Full knowledge of the physical body. Those who have got that knowledge, naturally in their company you will know that very knowledge yourself practically. So first and foremost thing is just to seek the company of somebody who has got the first knowledge of the self and the over-self.
Our closing bhajan is on page 42, Aja Jaga Vichakushya. Today, there is happiness in the world. The true light has come into this world. He has been born from the womb of Gulab Devi. He has kept his name as Kirpalji. The moon has risen, and its rays are smiling. He is the beloved of his father, Hukam Singh. He has become the support of the world. He has shouted the slogan of true Nam. He has made good souls out of the dirty souls. Darkness prevails in the world. He has gone around Sat Nam. He is famous in his country as well as in others. He has liberated those souls which were bitten by Kal. He received the true Nam from Sawan. He sacrificed himself on him millions of times. He took refuge in the Satguru. He has relied only on Sawan. Some celebrate the day of his birth. Some sing birthday songs to him. But Ajaib wants only Kirpal, as he has obeyed the things which are true. Today, there is happiness in the world.
Aja Jagavichu Kushiyavasiyane Aja Jagavicha Kushiya Vasiyane Sachanur Jagat Vichayayae Gulab Devi Di Kukuto Jayae Sachanur jagat vichayae Gulab Devi di kukuto jayae Kirpalaji nama rakayai channa chariti rishimahasiyane aja jagavichu kushiyavasiyane aja jagavichu kushiyavasiyane Pita hukum sing da pyara e duniya da baniya sahara e Pita hukum sing da pyara e duniya da baniya sahara e Sache nama dalaya narai ruha miliatu kitya chiyane aja jagavichu kushiya vasiyane Aja jagavicha kushiya vasiyane Dunya chayandira chayae Satnamada chakarlayae Dunya chayandira chayae Sat naam da chakar layae Des pardesa cha chayae Ruha kadia ju kaldiya dasiyane Aja jagavichu kushiya vasiyane Aja jagavichu kushiya vasiyane Savanato sacha namaliya Lakvare usato kurbana gya Savanato sacha namaliya Lakvare usato kurbana gya Satguru di sharani anapiya Asa savana diya rakiyane Aja jagavicha kushiya vasiyane Aja jagavicha kushiya vasiyane Koi janam dihara manondae Koi birthday kiki gonae Koi janam dihara manondae Koi birthday kiki gonae Ajab kirpalanu chahondai Maniyanju batta satchiyane Ajajagavichu kushiya vasiyane Aja jagavicha kushiya vasiyane.
Some celebrate the day of his birth. Some sing birthday songs to him. But Ajaib wants only Kripal, as he has obeyed the things which are true. Today, there is happiness in the world. May God bless us all.